Hey there, it's Dr. Nazanin Mo'oli, and I want to chat with you about a key ingredient for a fabulous date night, feeling sexy. And come on, let's be real. What you wear plays a big part in how you rock that confidence. That's why I'm thrilled to introduce you to Quince. Quince brings you premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts starting at just $30, along with washable silk tops, 40-karat gold jewelry, and more. And guess what? All of their goodies are priced 50 to 80% lower than similar brands. By teaming up directly with top factories, Quince skipped the middleman and hands us the saving. Plus, they stick to factories with safe, ethical practices and top-notch fabrics and finishes. How awesome is that? Picking from Quince's website was tough, because they have a ton of fabulous choices. I ended up going for their 100% washable silk sleep dress in champagne. And let me tell you, my husband was floored. He's convinced whoever rocks this is in for a blast. I'm going to record some content on that dress so you can see how fabulous is that dress. Elevate your date night style with Quince. Pop over to quince.com/sexology for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexology to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sexology.
Welcome to Sexology, a podcast that untangles the science of sex and pleasure. And now, with this week's episode, your host, clinical psychologist, Dr. Nazanin Mo'oli.
Hello and welcome to episode 232 of Sexology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nazanin Mo'oli. Today I'm going to talk with Dr. Morgan Anderson about attachment styles and their impact in our romantic relationship and our sexual life. Before I tell you about this interview, I just wanted to make sure that you know about our sex quiz. This quiz is specifically for women, and I developed it because I wanted to help women to kind of pinpoint the areas that might interfere with their sex life. Oftentimes, I get this question from my listeners that they're asking me that, you know, I feel I haven't reached my sexual potential yet, but they don't know what are some of the areas they need to focus on. That's why I developed this quiz. And in this quiz, after you're answering a few questions, you will get some suggestions about what to do next. As I mentioned, today we're going to talk about attachment style. If you have worked with me in the past, you know that I love talking about our attachment styles. It can really inform us about our relationship patterns, the attraction we develop toward people, and to understand some of the unconscious patterns that cause us to be attracted to people and not get excited about people that perhaps they can be good for us. So if you are curious to learn more about your attachment style, this is an episode for you. We're going to talk about the research on attachment styles and their impact in our adult romantic relationship. We're going to talk about cheating, and we're going to talk about sexual functioning challenges. As I mentioned, our guest is Dr. Morgan Anderson. She's a clinical psychologist and relationship coach and host of Let's Get Vulnerable podcast and creator of ESL Relationship Method. She helps women break the toxic dating cycle, raise their self-worth, and attract the healthy relationship they always wanted in her 8-week relationship coaching program. I leave the information to her Instagram account in the show notes. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Dr. Morgan Anderson. Hello there. I'm very excited to do this episode with Dr. Morgan Anderson. Dr. Anderson, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I'm so excited. I'm a big fan of your show. So it's an honor to be here with you today.
Likewise. And I like your show. And I know the focus is on attachment and relationship. And I when I heard it, I was like, oh, we must have her on our show. So I'm glad that we're doing this.
Absolutely. Yeah. Knowing how much attachment style and sexual functioning, how much that's connected in a relationship. I'm so glad we're doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's start talking about what's attachment. Can you tell us more about attachment styles? And for people who haven't heard about it, what do we mean when we say that?
Yeah. So, you know, attachment theory is developed by psychologists. You know, there's John Bowlby and Mary Ainsworth, and many of you in Psych 101 may have remembered learning about that, but it's essentially the study of how our attachment bonds from early on, from the moment that we're born, how those attachment bonds to our caregivers can impact our relationship functioning throughout our lives and kind of create what I like to call a relationship blueprint. Your early experiences help you form that blueprint, and that can either be harmful to you or helpful, right? And having an understanding of your attachment style is just incredibly empowering in your relationships. And personally, I think everyone should understand their attachment style.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. At time I talk about it with my clients, and they think it's coming from when they do these things in dating, they think it's coming from who, from the place of who they are. But when we're talking about it, at times we are reenacting our childhood attachment style. At times, you know, we're attracted to people because of those ruptures and wounds from our childhood.
Absolutely. That's a really good point of just acknowledging that your attachment style isn't necessarily who you are, but it's a way of being that you learned. It's coping and behaviors that you learned in relationships, and you carry that with you. And yeah, a lot of us are unconsciously repeating those childhood patterns in our adult relationships. I'm sure you and I could talk about this forever, but repetition compulsion, that idea that we are repeating these patterns as adults with the unconscious wish that we would have a different outcome in our adult relationships. So really important to understand attachment theory so that you can use it to your advantage.
Absolutely. And I was talking to one of my clients a few weeks ago, and he was telling me that as soon as, and this person is intelligent, very smart, he was sharing with me, as soon as the partner withdraws, that's the time that I really want them. And I hear that a lot.
Yes. Yes. There's a whole piece, I think, too, of understanding that withdrawer pursuer dynamic. And, you know, and I'm sure we'll talk about this, but if we have anxious attachment and we have that belief of love is unavailable to me, you could be in a room with 100 securely attached, healthy partners, and you will pick the one person who is avoidantly attached because that belief system is strong, right? That love is unavailable and I have to work hard for love. So yeah.
I love that. And you know, what's interesting that at times people say like they kind of like confuse it with sexual spark. They say exactly what you say in the entire room. I find a person that's going to do this to me, and that's the person I have a sexual spark with. And as we are unfolding, processing these things with people, we realize that it's coming from their attachment. So you talked about, kind of brought up the concept of anxious attachment style. So for our listeners that they're not familiar with different groups of kind of like types of attachment, can you tell us more about those?
Yeah. So there's 4 main attachment styles. And I always like people to know that this is on a spectrum. So I like to think of it as percentages. So maybe you fall into one category 75% of the time, instead of putting yourself in just one box. So be open to allowing these different styles to fit you at the same time. So that's my little caveat. But yeah, there's 4 main styles. And we have, as I mentioned, anxious attachment. We have avoidant attachment, disorganized, and securely attached. I can do just a short definition for each one. So yeah, anxious attachment is this idea of I'm preoccupied with my partner. I feel anxious. I feel unable to relax and love. And this is the person who, you know, they don't get a text back and then they're sending 17 text messages and they're catastrophizing and saying, oh my gosh, the relationship's over, right? And generally needing a lot of reassurance and generally attracted to emotionally unavailable partners.
I love that, that you brought that up. And you know, what's interesting that at times I see people, and I love that you brought up that like it's different kind of percentage. And when we talk about this thing, there's just so many different factors contributing to our sexuality, our personality, and attachment style is part of it. So you can be a securely attached person, but because there's something else going on, that then you are struggling sexually. Yes. But one thing that was coming up for me as you were talking about that, I got reminded of clients that I have, that they have anxious attachment style, and at times they use sex as a way of making sure that they're keeping the partner engaged, and they at times confuse that with desire. So what do you think about that?
Oh my gosh, we could talk so much about that. And in the coaching that I do with women, it's something that comes up a lot. And oftentimes what will happen is if you're attracted to emotionally unavailable folks, they have a hard time talking about their emotions. So sex becomes much more easily accessible, and it becomes the easy tool to use to create connection. So they're relying on sex to create an emotional connection instead of having the safe emotional connection and then building a sexual connection. So it becomes relied on, and it can become painful to clients when they think they're building this strong emotional connection through sex, and maybe it's not feeling that way to their partner.
Absolutely. And at times when we are kind of like clients that they have like more secure attachment style, and they have higher desire, for them, they feel more fulfilled sexually when they are engaging in these sexual behaviors. Yeah. But when you have anxious attachment style, it's a kind of recurrent challenge that you have, that you want to kind of make sure, yeah, that you're engaged, but you don't experience that satisfaction long-term.
I think, and this is something we could do a whole other episode on this, I'm realizing, but it really becomes this thing of the need for sex. It's not, it comes from a place of, I need to be validated that our relationship is secure. So let's have this sexual connection so I feel secure, instead of, I want to connect with you more deeply. Let's deepen our relationship. So it ends up putting this strain on the sexual experience, and it's harder to enjoy the sexual experience. And at the same time, you feel like you constantly need it. So it can be a very painful way to approach intimacy.
Love that you highlighted that, because good sex often is about focusing on ourselves, like the desire, yeah, coming from within and getting our needs met. But when we're doing it as a way, kind of consciously or unconsciously, as a tool to attract our partner, then we're missing on that element of kind of focusing on our needs and what we want out of this situation.
Yes, exactly.
Awesome. So tell us about other style. I got so excited about it. Anxious. Perhaps I'm anxious. Anxiously attached. That's why I got distracted.
Oh my gosh. I love this topic so much. It's so fun to talk to you about this. So yeah, the next one we could talk about would be avoidantly attached. And I want to highlight that at the core of anxiously attached folks and avoidantly attached folks, there is the fear of being abandoned. And here's the thing is, avoidantly attached folks sometimes get a bad reputation of, oh, they don't want connection, or, you know, they're just aloof. But really at the core for them is, I'm worried I won't be able to meet the person's needs. I will let the person down. So I don't want to fail. So let me just be distant and be independent. So I wanted to make that caveat of it's some of the same core fears, but they have different ways of navigating it.
Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah. So avoidant attack, this is where there's a real struggle with intimacy. And what can happen is, sometimes this is the person you go on the date with and it's a great date and you feel super connected, you have a great time, and then you don't hear from them for 10 days. You're like, what happened? What happened was, you were close, there was this great intimacy, and then the fear came up for the avoidantly attached person. So they struggle with closeness and intimacy. because one of the fears also is that they don't know how they're going to hold on to their independence while also being connected in a relationship.
Such an important point. And you know, with avoidance, that's one something that's interesting is that at times I hear from my clients that when they get into a committed relationship, that's when sex becomes challenging for them. They can't connect with the partner. They tell me that they love sexual experiences that are more casual. The connection is not there. And at times for any reason that they get into the committed relationship, they feel trapped and the attraction disappear.
Yes, this is fascinating, right? Because I think what we can realize in that is there's the fear of intimacy and deepening a relationship even further. So if you're committed, there's this potential of, wow, we could be building this long-term partnership together, a very close relationship. So it puts some of that fear of, oh my gosh, I don't know that I can do this. I might let this person down. And then it can even come into sexual performance issues too, of, am I letting this person down? Am I not good enough for them sexually?
Absolutely. And you know, one other thing that at times I see that these category of people, at times they're more comfortable kind of getting their needs met through watching porn and masturbating. Mm-hmm. That feels comfortable. My listeners, they know I don't have anything against porn, but for them, it's a way of like avoiding the intimacy of being with another person. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, when you're with another human, it can be messy and vulnerable. And that's when the kind of the challenges, sexual challenges show up for them.
Exactly. Yeah, they feel more comfortable kind of taking ownership over getting their needs met. And this idea that they would rely on somebody else to meet their needs is really terrifying.
Right. And feeling that if I truly open up, then that person might not want me, or at times they are dismissive of the relationship, kind of like thinking about, I'm not a relationship person, therefore they're not committing. But as you mentioned, deep inside, they have that craving, but they're just scared of opening up and kind of getting rejected.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, tell us about disorganized type. I know that's a type we don't hear much about.
Yeah, disorganized attachment really is, I think, one of the more painful attachment styles. And it's really, to really meet full criteria for it, it's only about like 5% of the population, but you're really going between feeling anxiously attached and avoidantly attached and using anxious attachment strategies and avoidant attachment strategies. So can feel really confusing to you when you're in that place, and also confusing to your partner. And this can look like really needing a ton of reassurance one day, and then the next day saying, oh my gosh, I'm going to Tahiti for 3 months, have a good life. You know, I'm using an extreme example, but it's the need for extreme closeness and then pulling away and having extreme independence too. And obviously it can be on a spectrum, so maybe it's less extreme, but the idea is you're going between really wanting connection and really wanting independence. And it can feel quite jarring as you're going between those styles.
And, you know, as I'm hearing we talk about this, I get reminded that how many times we personalize things. Right? Like you say, the person going to Tahiti, we're thinking, oh God, what did I do? What did I do in the bedroom that turned them off? Not knowing that they are hooked on the challenges that they have and they're struggling with their own attachment wound. It has nothing to do with you or what you did in the bedroom.
Yes, that's a very good point. That's one of the beautiful things about attachment theory. It gives us a window into how we show up in relationships, and it also empowers us to understand our partners. And that, exactly what you said, it helps us not personalize it and not take it personally.
So let's go to the good news. Tell us about the secure attachment.
So secure attachment is where we all want to be. And I am of the belief that we can always move towards secure attachment. We can really do the work to move ourselves towards secure attachment. And there are people who would disagree with me on that, but I myself have moved towards being more securely attached, and I've helped many women do it. So I believe that it's possible. This is where you realize that my needs are valid and my partner's needs are valid. I can have connection with my partner and I have connection with myself. I'm not losing myself in relationships and I'm also allowing for that close connection. It's that, you know, ability to show up as your authentic self in a relationship and create a lasting, safe connection where your, you know, emotions, needs, wants, desires, all of that is heard and honored. I could go on and on, right? It's like, it's this beautiful definition of what we all want.
This picture perfect of a healthy person.
And yeah.
And I agree with you that that's something that we can work, move toward. And I can imagine, I can talk about myself that I think in different relationships, we can kind of move in different spectrum. So I think it's important, yes, to work on ourselves and also as a couple or whatever configuration of a relationship we have.
Absolutely. I always speak with the women that I coach and I let them know that you as the individual can move towards secure attachment. And in any relationship you're in, you can work to co-create a secure attachment as a couple. Even if you have someone who is anxiously attached and avoidantly attached and they're coming together, that couple, if they want to, they can intentionally work towards creating secure attachment.
Absolutely. And I think in our sexual life, attachment styles, they can play a huge role because being intimate with someone, it's so vulnerable. And at times our partner want to explore different things and that can trigger all of the pain that we have. If we're not securely attached, you might think, what am I doing? That triggers this in my partner. Or we're kind of thinking about perhaps they're not interested in us, so we're withdrawing. So I think it's really important to pay attention to our internal reactions, as you mentioned.
It's so connected. The attachment connection that you have in the relationship and how you're able to enjoy and explore in your sex life. I know it's this idea of when we have that safe, secure connection and there's emotional safety and we can be ourselves and we can be vulnerable, that creates a foundation for a healthy sex life that, hey, you can explore together. You can talk about what you want. You can set boundaries. You think about communication and sex, and that's so connected as well. And I think emotionally safe sex is amazing sex.
Absolutely. And I think it requires courage to introduce our sexual self to our partner, because this is perhaps part of our, like, hidden part of ourselves that we haven't showed to many people. And if you have a tiny fear of rejection, that can get amplified when you want to talk about something that you want in bed. And perhaps in your mind, you're thinking, oh God, I'm a freak, or I'm so abnormal that I want this. And if you have that secure attachment and trust, as you mentioned, that can help us to have these conversations and advocate for what we want.
Exactly. And this idea that, hey, when you've done the work to really accept yourself, because that's a big part in you showing up securely attached, you're familiar with what you want and you've accepted it. And then coming into a partnership where you can show up and be yourself and have somebody who listens. And it's not always that you agree or that you're on the same page, but the beauty of secure attachment is you can navigate whatever comes up in a healthy way.
Absolutely. And you know, what's interesting is that one of the huge barrier for people in their relationship and even in a kind of sexual realm is a sense of jealousy, that this kind of like the way that we get activated when our partner is having some interaction with someone, it comes in a spectrum. And at times that also is connected to attachment style. So I'm kind of curious to hear your thoughts on that.
I love that question. And it's so, so very true. And really, whether you are anxiously attached or avoidantly attached or even securely attached, this can come up. But the idea of how can you know that your partner values you and values the connection, and that if you are feeling jealous or you are feeling triggered in some way, you can ask for the reassurance that you need so that you can come back to that securely attached place as quickly as possible, right? Whereas if I'm anxiously attached, maybe I become jealous. And then I start thought spiraling, and pretty soon I'm creating all these worst case scenarios and I'm pulling away from you, or I'm, you know, getting really activated. But to be able to have the tools to move back to a securely attached place as quickly as possible, then it just becomes a little bit of a wave of jealousy instead of a tidal wave that's, you know, kind of wrecking through the relationship. So,
yes. And you know, what's interesting when it comes to jealousy, it's a normal human experience, right? Yes. And it's a matter of how you're navigating it. And at times I see people kind of have those protest behavior that you were talking about, that they get activated and they start bombarding their partner with messages and this kind of like fights and these scenes, and they get angry, and that's not connecting. And that creates a rupture versus kind of acknowledging what you're feeling and talking about it with your partner. I think that can be more connecting. And it's interesting how, if it's coming from us, from attachment style, perhaps we can look into our previous relationship and it can be a kind of repeated pattern.
Yes, absolutely. I love what you're talking about of, you know, protest behavior and just knowing how, I think many of us can have memories. We go, oh yeah, I remember that kind of spiral, right? And it's not fun to go through that. It's really painful. So the acknowledgement of, hey, if I notice it's happening, I can intentionally decide to self-soothe. And I teach my clients to do this, of move yourself towards secure attachment as much as you can, and then come to your partner and talk with them about, hey, what do I need to feel that way in the relationship again?
I talk about it in my show that I, growing up, I had more of an avoidant attachment side, and through therapy and through my work, I learned to correct that. And I had this interesting experience that when I got married, like I was doing my postdoc somewhere else and my husband was in LA, and I saw that there was this party. This woman was kind of like flirting with my fiance then. And I was thinking, okay, like automatically, I guess this marriage didn't work out. And I was to go to an Uber and kind of leave. And that's how it shows up. And then through my therapy, I was like, oh, wait, what's happening here? And I was able to kind of acknowledge it and talk about it with my husband. But it's interesting. It's almost the logic shows up so automatic, right? Unless we develop this other voice, it's easy to get hooked on that.
So true. That's such a good example, and really speaks to, you know, our attachment systems. If we think about it, they're really survival systems. So they can kind of seem like fight or flight mode, where they just kick in. And that's why it's so important to develop that awareness and develop the third way of responding, right? You know, not fight or flight, and learn how to respond from a place of logical mind and reality and looking at the facts and moving into your securely attached self. And then being able to show up to your partner and have the conversation and share how you feel and create that secure attachment together. And when you think about it, if you have fear in the relationship and then you're able to move towards security together as a couple, that really strengthens the connection. So it's a beautiful opportunity to get to do that when those feelings arise.
Yes. And I, to me, the way it shows up is, again, I'm a big fan of therapy. So I'm a psychologist, and I've been in therapy like most of my adult life. I like it that much.
I love it too.
And I think the way it shows up is the old voices, they still show up, but I developed this other type of voice that is competing with that. And I observe my old self kind of talking about, oh God, I guess this didn't work out. Let's get out of here. But now I have another part of me that's a kind of voice of logic, and that encouraged me to do things that are more coming from the place of secure attachment.
I love that point. And, you know, obviously as a psychologist myself, and also a huge fan of therapy, and yes, I have a psychologist. I think you need one if you are a psychologist. Anyways, that's a whole other topic. But I love what you're saying. And it really points to, we never reach a place of perfection. This is a lifelong commitment. And there's going to be days where you didn't sleep well, where you spilled coffee on yourself, you have a huge deadline at work, and maybe the old voice, your old way of being, feels a little bit louder on those days. And that is okay. You have to be able to recognize it and then just have so much compassion and get through that and know that that doesn't define you. It doesn't mean, oh my gosh, I'm becoming my old self. It's just old patterns coming up, and you can intentionally move towards your more healed way of being.
Absolutely. And on that note, I know you have a course and you have a podcast for people in my show. So please tell us more about that.
Yeah. So the podcast is called Let's Get Vulnerable, and it's 2 episodes every week. And a lot about attachment theory and communication and navigating dating and relationships. So would love to have you listen. Available everywhere podcasts are aired. And then, yeah, I developed the ESL relationship program. It stands for Empowered, Secure, and Loved, because that's how I want all of us to feel in relationships. And it's an 8-week program for women to help them move towards secure attachment and also heal the relationship with themselves so they can show up and have great relationships. And I'm on Instagram at Dr. Morgan Coaching. So if you want to learn more about the program, you can find it there.
Awesome. So the information about that will be in the show note. It was lovely to have you on the show, and I'm excited about our conversation. And thank you again.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I love what you're doing. We need more people like you. So keep up the good work. And I can't wait to listen back to this episode. Thank you so much for having me.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation. I tell my clients often that understanding your attachment style is crucial if you want to have good sexual experiences. Because sometimes we do things during sex that we don't know where that's coming from. As I mentioned during interviews, sometimes we find ourselves attracted to toxic people. As soon as they withdraw, we find ourselves attracted to them more, or perhaps we use sex as a way to get validation. And long term, this might not be healthy for us. So understanding your attachment style can play a huge role in helping you to relate differently to your partner inside and outside the bedroom. One of the books that I recommend to my clients is called Attached. I leave a link in the show notes to that book, and it tells you how your attachment style play a role in your adult relationship. So if you're curious to learn more about this, that would be a good resource for you. At the end, I wanted to make sure you're subscribing to our show wherever you're listening to this episode. I interviewed tons of exciting experts and researchers, and we already recorded them, and I just don't want you to miss it. So if you want to make sure you're having access to our show, make sure you are subscribing. All right, I'll talk to you next Tuesday, and thank you so much for tuning in to Sexology Podcast. Thanks for listening to Sexology Podcast. For more great content, visit www.sexologypodcast.com. Please be advised that information presented on this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health provider.